Listen to me, you who are preaching and saying the law is passed. Grace never cancels the law. Grace only brings us to Christ so that we can obey the law through the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us.
Life is a journey, and as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
Right, so we will continue with our series of lessons on the outpourings, all right? And in our previous week, we began to talk about the outpouring, and we said that the outpouring is a divine move of God where he pours out without limits or without measure his spirit and his kingdom blessings on the believer that causes the person who to receive it to never, ever be the same. Amen? We did establish that many believers genuinely are believing God for an outpouring, but they do not know. Or sometimes they make the mistake of thinking that the manifestation of God's outpouring is always instantaneous. But we did establish that the manifestations of God's outpouring can be instantaneous, but it can be incremental, or it could also be based on an illumination word. Amen. We also did establish that because the fact that not every outpouring or every move of God is always instantaneous, but it could be progressive, that is incremental, and then it can take some other fashion or form, we must respect the spiritual process that brings it to pass. The problem is many believers don't respect the spiritual process. Those who respect it also spiritualize it. Right? Can you say spiritual process and not spiritualize it? I'll come to it. And so we began to understand from our case study that was Abraham from the book of Romans chapter 4, 10 there with me. And as we looked at Abraham, we understood that there were several things Abraham did to bring to pass what God had promised. The first thing Abraham did was that the scripture says he faced the facts. He did not deny. Do not deny the facts that you are facing. They may be negative, but don't say it doesn't exist. Are you guys hearing me? If you are sick in your body, say, yes, I'm sick in my body, but this sickness is going to give way to healing. Are you guys understanding me? The second thing we understood that whilst we do not deny negative facts but face them with faith, we must also establish new facts to replace the negative facts. And that is done by renewing your mind with what God says concerning that situation. Amen? So if the doctor says you are sick, you have cancer, you have a condition, and then life is over for you, that is a negative fact. Don't ignore it. It is a fact. Are you guys hearing me? But then we can begin to develop new facts, establish new facts. How? Because the Word of God declares that you will live and not die. The Word of God declares that by His stripes we are what? Healed. You begin to put those things forth. The problem is many believers have been brought to a place where there's too much of using their head. Your head must be used, but it must be used in conjunction with what God says. Amen. If we live anyhow, then there is no difference between us and the people in the world. But there ought to be a difference. I said there ought to be what? So Abraham faced the fact that he was 90 years old and he and his wife, everything was over. Naturally speaking, but he began to establish new facts. The third thing we talked about is that he came to a place where he was fully persuaded. And we said we must discipline ourselves to walk in faith until we reach the place of being fully what? What are you persuaded about? That God is able. It doesn't matter how the thing looks. God is what? Today, I want to delve deep into that statement. Becoming persuaded. Because that is the problem that we have. Many people know that God can do things. Don't you know? How many of you believe God can do everything? But then when you consider your situation, sometimes if you are not careful, you will say, as for this one, I don't know if God can, but he can. And you must reach that place where you are fully persuaded. So let's begin from Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Look at verse 21. Let's read that again. So now he's saying that Abraham, against all hope, believing hope, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was dead, and then he did not waver. I always say that these verses are Abraham's revised resume, because you all know Abraham was wavering. He received a promise. You'll be father of many nations. Then he asked God later, I only see Eliezer. Then he listened to his wife to sleep with Hagar. It doesn't sound like somebody who was firm. The guy was wishy-washy. But there came a time. I said there came. When we look at Abraham's example, it is an indication that you and I, no matter how bad we are wavering, we can also come to a place where we are fully what? Persuaded. Verse 21 says, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had what? Promised. When you reach that place, it doesn't matter what is going on. You will see the hand of God. Amen and amen. And today I want us to get into God's word and fully understand how becoming fully persuaded works. So let's begin with a working definition. Becoming fully persuaded means arriving at a place where you are no longer worried about what is going on around you. And you are ready to obey God no matter what. If you start getting worried about who is talking, it means you are not fully persuaded. People who are fully persuaded don't care. I have reached a point that I am fully persuaded that this room will be overflowing to four services. It may not happen in my lifetime, but it will take place. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I am fully persuaded about that. And it doesn't matter what you say, what I see, those things don't detect it. All that God says is what I live by. When you reach that place, then you have become fully what? Fully persuaded. Tell the person sitting next to you, you got to be fully persuaded. But it doesn't happen overnight. It takes a while. But within that time, there are things you must do. Becoming fully persuaded means you have reached that place that no matter what is said on the news, you know you are safe in him. It doesn't matter what you read in the papers, you believe that God is God. Even if they raise the price of a gas to $10 per gallon, you know your car will be filled. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You must reach that place that God is able. He can do what he says he will what? Do. It doesn't become a song you sing. It is deep down within your knower. You know it beyond a shadow of doubt that God is going to come through. Are you understanding me? So for example, maybe something needs to happen by a certain time frame and you are not seeing it. And as humans as we all are, we live in time. So you feel agitated. No. Please write this down. It's not part of my notes. If you can hang with God and throw time away, if you can hang with him, you will see the manifestation. I said you can what? See the manifestation. If you can hang with him, you will see the manifestation. So two important points that I want you to note, and that will be the premise of our study today. To become fully persuaded, number one, you must never allow time to control you. I am 26 years old, and I don't have a guy looking at me yet. It does not mean you will not get married. Are you with me? How in the world have I been married for 5 years and I don't have a child yet, it doesn't mean you are barren. It's human beings saying it. I've been working for so long and I've not been able to save so much money. It does not mean you are poor. Never allow time to control you. The second one, I will get into details of all of this, is that align your thoughts, your talk, and your task. In other words, align the way you think, the things you are saying, and the things you are doing. Let them line up with the word of God, because God never answers a prayer that comes out of a lips that is not in line with the heart. So your thoughts must sync with your talk. Are you with me? And then the things you do must line up with those two as well. So let's go back to the first one. And we will still look at Abraham, our case study. And I know some of you by now will be saying, Pastor, it's only one person. Yes, it's true. Anytime you want to walk in any spiritual truth, there are four things that are important. You need revelation. Number two, you need regimentation. Number three, you need a role model, somebody who has actually lived the thing. And finally, you need a righteous resolve. You are not asking God to do it for you so you can tell your enemies that you look good. No, a righteous resolve to advance his kingdom and to bring his will down on earth. Are you with me today? And so I have shown you the revelation. That is the truth of what God says. We walk by faith and not by... What is the regimentation? Last week we learned it. We said that it begins with consecration. We must consecrate ourselves. Then we talked about information. Then we said information must saturate us. And then it should control our deliberation. We ought to become determined and be in expectation. You remember all that? Okay. Now, we are looking at our role model, the person who has lived it. Abraham has lived it. And your role model should not only be in the Bible, but also in contemporary life. I have lived it. And I know you have lived it to a degree. So sometimes look at your own life. Sit down, take a book, and write it down. God has taken you through so much. Quit looking down on yourself. Are you with me? Haven't you prayed for God to heal you before? So why are you always looking at Abraham? Look at yourself too. You are a role model. One of the things that the Lord spoke to me last night as I saw him sit on my bed and he was talking, he says, for every generation, if there's going to be transformation, there has to be a model. Elijah represents the model of prayer in the face of evil. Abraham is a model for my blessing. And he said, son, if you will bring transformation to this society, you must become a model. Models don't meddle in everything. Because there's something that pushes us. In the coming year, I will mentor a lot of people. I'll pour myself into people. I walk in integrity, so I'm not afraid to do so. Amen. Never allow time on. Tell the person sitting next to you, don't allow time to control you. And please ask them, what is this one all about? Can you answer? We said to become fully what? Persuaded. We must never allow time to control us. Turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 21. So we are looking at the life of Abraham. He is our role model. For us to be able to walk in this truth, we need to have a model. We have understood the revelation. We have had a regimentation. Now we are looking at a model. And at the tail end of the service, I will speak about our righteous resolve. Never ask God to do a thing in your life just so that you can show it to someone. God is not into that. Are you in Genesis 21? Let's look at the first two verses. Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 and verse 2. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah. You all know Sarah is Abraham's wife, right? God gave them a promise that Abraham was going to be the father of many nations, and Sarah was going to be the mother of what? Many nations, okay? So now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, and he said, The Lord did for Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Verse 2, please read with me, shall we? Go. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised him. Please underline that statement. Circle, highlight, whichever. He said, at the very time God had promised. At the very time God had what? All right, go to Genesis chapter 12 when God spoke this promise the first time. And let's see if the time is actually written there. Genesis chapter 12. We'll read the first three verses. The Lord God had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Verse 4 says, so Abraham left. Now, what was the time God promised there? There's no time. That's my point. That's what I'm trying to. God brought it to pass at the time he was promised, but the time was not known to Abraham. If you're going to walk with God, stop this time-conscious thing. Walk with him. I said, walk what? Reason is, even if the time passes based on you, God knows. What is there not a scripture who says in the book of Joel that God restores time? He's the only one who can do that. Human beings can restore a lot of things, but nobody can restore time. So anytime you walk with God, don't stop putting time to him, because he does things in his time. So he gives this dude a promise when he's 75 years old. He fulfills it 25 years after. But when the word was given to Abraham, Abraham was rejoicing. But he did not know it was going to take place after 25 years. We are privy to it because we are reading it. So put yourself in Abraham's shoes and you realize that some of the things God wants to do in your life, you don't know when. But it does not mean he cannot do it. And God will still bring it to pass. Amen. Are you hearing me today? Never allow time. In fact, look at Genesis 18 verse 10. Because around Genesis 18 verse 10, by this time, Abraham was almost about 99 years old. All right? Are you in Genesis 18? If you read chapter 17, verse 24, he says, and Abraham was 99 years old when he circumcised himself. All right? And then this one follows. Chapter 18, look at verse 10. Then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year. So Abraham got anything about timing just in a year. 24 years, he didn't know. And anytime we live a life wanting to follow God, and we have become so time conscious, and the truth is, we are all tempted too. I need to be married by the time I'm 30. But I need to have all my children and finish them by the time I am 35. So that when I go on pension at 65, at least my oldest will be 30. And then we calculate all of them. But did Joshua and Caleb know that the real ministry of Moses will not begin when he was 40, but it will begin at 80? And the guy stood there and says, give me this mountain at 80. With God, time is nothing. And let us stop hyping ourselves with, it needs to happen by this time. It needs to happen by this time. It needs to happen by this time. So the person that God hasn't given you, you are forcing yourself to marry them. And you are giving me more hours of counseling. Today I want to help reduce the counseling hours by speaking truth to you. Let us walk with God. I said, let us what? Walk with God. Let us walk with him. It is important. Never ever allow time to control you. anybody who walked with God, saw the hand of God, experienced the power of God, you would notice that most of them did not worry about time. Joseph, when did he have his dream? We are not certain of the date, but it is believed that he was between 13 to 17. He rises to notoriety and power when he's 39, over 22 years. Today, people will talk. They claim they are anointed. It's been 4 years. Where is their anointing? As if they are God. Please, do not let people pressure you. Never. If you walk with God, if you can hang with him long enough, you will see his hand. And sometimes the people who are talking, they won't be there to see it. I pray that everybody who said, hey, you can't make it, I want them to live to see it. Not so that they will be shameful, but so that they will know they can also believe God. Amen. Never allow time to control things. Some of us, if God didn't wait and he gave us some things at a certain time, we'll be lost. So he has to take his time and work it out. Amen. They said you will never know what is really in people until they rise to a place of power and they have money. Let's stay on faith. The second thing is that we become fully persuaded by simply aligning our thoughts, our talk, our task to the Word of God. Right? And I'm going to walk you through Abraham's life. Let's begin with the thoughts. You must learn to manage and control your thoughts, life. Because it can undermine your faith and your willingness to take action. If you think that God cannot do it, there are things you're supposed to do. You will never do it. Because you believe, I think this thing is over. No. 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 I remember there was one time we were supposed to pay a bill here at church. It was a huge bill. You know, it was an energy bill. And it came down to $4,000. And I look at other bills and look at the $4,000 and I said, why do I have to put $4,000 into light? They should just turn it off. When we come, we'll pray. Then I realized that not everybody is on my level of faith. Because somebody will get angry and go home because they didn't see light. Maybe you wouldn't do it. Somebody will. So I took the bill and I went and I said, my name is Pastor so-and-so. I'm the pastor of this church that you send this bill to. I see that in a couple of days you want to cut this light. Please do not, because if you did, I'll pray for the rest of the area to stay out of light until we come back to light. The guy looked at me like, the guy is cuckoo. There's something wrong in his head. I'm showing you some of the things that happen behind closed doors, right? So I'm walking out, and then his boss comes out and says, hey, Pastor Neil. And I turn around. I said, hey, you know me? He said, I've been listening to you over the radio. I said, okay. I said, listen, I just told them that if the light is cut, I'll pray for the rest of the city to be set. So he turned to the guy and says, can you just extend the notice for the next 30 days? Because I listened to him. If he says it's coming, it's just coming. I said, God bless you, my brother. God bless you. It is not about me. It is me managing my head and my thoughts. Within 30 days, we have the money to pay. I wasn't going to ask God to skip the bill, no. But we must learn to exercise faith. Are you with me? All right. So it is important that we do. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to verse 6 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war, or our warfare is not in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Strongholds. Strongholds means mental thought patterns that have become a problem. You can't just get rid of it. Verse 5, very important. And it says in verse 5 that we demolish arguments. Where are arguments? Arguments are in your thoughts. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient. Please circle that word obedient. So the Word of God says the child of God must begin to learn how to demolish some things that are not in its right. It's against Christ, against the will of God. Those things must be taken captive, right? And make it what? Obedient. Nice. It's a difficult thing to do. So God wants to do that for you. But the condition is in verse 6. Let us all read verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's read verse 6 because you will see the condition. Shall we? Go. It says, and having in readiness, right, to avenge all disobedience. When you're, okay, ready, go. And having in, when your obedience. So God will avenge all disobedience. When your obedience to his word. When you begin to say, I'm taking this captive, God will help you so that that thing stays. If you become fully persuaded, you must pay attention to your thoughts. I said you must pay attention to your. So don't listen to any junk. Don't. This week I heard a pastor. The guy has influence and money, and he's spewing nonsense. I shall leave him unnamed. But he's talking about tithe, and then he's talking about the fact that tithe has expired because it belongs to the law. Because the law has passed, according to him. And the person interviewing him is helping him out. And they are spewing that foolishness. And in fact, the person who sent it to me was a friend. Later on, a pastor sent it to me, and he said, there it is, there it is. People are not supposed to pay tithes. And I'm just looking at it, and I said, wow. Next year, it is one of the things I'll be teaching. People, listen to me. There were four laws you read in the scriptures. So when Jesus says, I became an end to a law, you must know which one he is talking about. There is what is called in the beginning. You all remember God told Adam and Eve, the day you eat of this fruit, you shall what? That's divine law. He gave them only one. Later on, the one became 10, as it is in their commandments. Correct? Then, when Adam and Eve sinned, what did God do? What did he do? He took a lamb, he killed a lamb, and then he clothed them with the bloody skin because sin must be dealt with blood. And God instituted what is called a ritual law. It's a ritual. Then we read in the scriptures, do not fight against civil authority. That is called human law. When a legislation like Congress passes a law, that law should never be against the law, divine law. It can be against ritual law, but not divine law. Then there is natural law, such as the laws of physics. When I take a seed and I put it in the ground and I pour water on that seed, how much prayer and fasting do you need for the seed to grow? Zero. It tells you that sometimes there are things we are praying about. It's a waste of time. You must obey the law of God. Are you with me? So I sent a text to be given to that preacher that when Jesus came, he says, the written code that was against you, I canceled it. He canceled the ritual law. The divine law is in place. Natural law is still in place. That is why we can fly planes. That's the law of aerodynamics. If he canceled that one, then we couldn't fly. People must talk properly. And he has not canceled human law because he says we should respect it. But human law must be in obedience to divine law and natural law. Are you guys with me? God will avenge our obedience.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.